Good morning. Oh, it's good evening, isn't it?
Thank you.
I got to come back and see this all in action. I just thought it was for me, and then I realized it wasn't. We have a brief time tonight. And what I want to say, I want to get it out. Because I love kids. I've spoken to more young people than anyone in history. I live with kids. And most kids, right in the evangelical fundamental born-again Christian church, is at a disadvantage. And mainly because of their parents. They're at a total disadvantage, most Christian kids. We're losing them fast. Do you know right now, the average evangelical fundamental born-again Christian kid is leaving the church within 12 months of high school graduation, 85%. Do you hear me? 85% are walking away in 12 months. And one of the biggest reasons they're walking away, one of the two, is what I want to address. When I look at a young person, I always like to refer to this chart. This chart is the making. Is it going to take a while to flip that or what? I need to, whoever it is can tell me. Is it always going to take that long? Anybody back there can? I'll adjust to it then. Okay. At the top, I know they're out in the truck. At the top of the pyramid is one's behavior. That's a young person's behavior. That is driven. There's something wrong here with the PowerPoint. Will you tell them? It's taken forever to come up. It's so slow. Please? Thank you. Our behavior is driven by our values. Our values are formed by our beliefs. Our beliefs form our values that drive our behavior. Now, what I struggled with for 15 years and couldn't answer, and about 8 years ago the light comes out, what engenders a young person to believe? What causes our own children to want to know our Savior? To fall in love with the Scriptures? What causes a young person to want to follow mom and dad or other adults' values? After 15 years of struggling with that, the light finally came on. The whole foundation of making them an individual is relationships. It's relationships. Folks, whether we like it or not, relationships in general, you say, oh, wait, McDowell, it's the Holy Spirit. Don't go getting super spiritual on me. Of course it's the Holy Spirit. But what does the Holy Spirit use to engender belief? He doesn't work in a vacuum. He uses relationships. David said, I've been constantly aware of your unfailing love. Notice he didn't say once a day, a couple times a week. He said, I'm constantly aware of your unfailing love. And what did that do to David? He said, I've lived according to your truth. If David had not seen that unfailing love, I can almost guarantee you he never ever would have lived according to God's truth. In Psalm 86, 11 to 13 is a phenomenal verse. It's a prayer that David prayed. And I'm sure every one of you like me, I pray it for my own kids. You prayed it for your own children, grandkids, the kids in your church. It's when David prayed, teach me your ways, O Lord. Why? That I may live according to your truth. Teach me your ways that I may live according to your truth. Isn't that what you want for your kids, your grandkids? What you pray for them? You want them to pray? What was the motivation for David praying this? What would be the motivation for our own children wanting to pray this? David said this, for your love for me is very great. For your love for me is very great. In Ephesians 4, Paul said something that all of us wanted to have it to be true in our homes and all. We want it to be true at church and the youth group and youth interactive times. It's when Paul said, teaching the truth. Isn't that what you want? Teach the truth. That's what you want your kids to hear, the truth. What's the motivation for it? Paul said, in love. In love. Why? Because it's relationships that engenders beliefs that forms our values that drives our behavior. You young fathers, dad, you could be the greatest teacher of truth in the whole world. You could explain truth better than anyone else. But I'll tell you this, daddy, with your own son or daughter, if in the depth of their own heart of heart does not believe, and I mean daddy, without reservation, my daddy loves me, that kid will walk. They'll walk away from their faith within 12 months of high school graduation. 90% of them will, and that's what's happening. It's relationships that engenders beliefs. Here's a phrase, and this is what I spoke on last night for 3 hours, is truth without relationships lead to rejection. Or I put it this way, rules without relationships leads to rebellion. Kids don't respond to rules, they respond to rules in the context of a loving, intimate relationship. Last night I shared that Dartmouth Medical School commissioned a study to be done. Notice what they did. It was very, very unique. Instead of doing their own scientific research, they examined the research of 267 current scientific studies of young people. I didn't even know there were that many, and I'm a researcher. When they released their report after examining the findings of 267 scientific studies of young people, they changed the name of their study to a relational title called Hardwired to Connect. Now, why would they do that? Meaning to connect in relationships. The reason is this. They said all scientific research shows, not 90, 92, 95, or 98%. They said all scientific research shows that from the moment a baby is born, and that's my grandson, Scotty James, they said that little brain at the moment of birth has already been formed to connect in relationships, physically, not emotionally, not spiritually. They said all scientific research now shows in the moment a baby is born, their brain is totally formed physically, biologically, for relationships. Can you imagine a child in the late term abortion where they let the head come out and they take a knife, which they're doing all the time, and stab it down through behind the neck? Now think of that baby. And think of that baby saying, whew, I'm not sure I want too many human relationships. I never understood why they get so upset over the cruelty in Iraq, with the cruelty that we have at home. And they went on to say, the Dartmouth Medical Study says, science says that if you want to pass your values and truth on to your children, you must do two things. Now, this is science, not the Bible. Science says, number one, you must build a loving, intimate relationship with that child or they will walk away from your truth. Whoa, does that ever take the nature-nurture debate off the table? Second, they said, you want to pass, this is science now, you want to pass your values and truth on to your children? Then it says that you must build a model that very truth or value in the presence of that child or they will walk away. It's kind of what Jesus said, do as I have done to you. Whew. I've given you an example to follow. That's what mom and dad should be to every child. Do as I've done. Be who I am. And science says if they don't see that biblical truth in your life, doesn't matter what you teach them, they'll walk away. Columbia University, after Columbine, the shootings in Colorado, commissioned a study to be done. They wanted to find out how family structure between a single-parent family headed by a mother and a two-parent biological family affects a child's involvement in drugs and alcohol, violence, etc. After multi-millions of dollars and everything else, they released their study. And this is what they found. A child raised in a single-parent home where the mother is ahead, that child is 30% more likely to go into drugs, alcohol, and violence. Now, folks, in research, that's a very high percentage. However, a child raised in a two-parent biological home, but there's a fair-to-poor relationship with the father, that child is 68%, over twice as likely to go into drugs, alcohol, and violence from a two-parent biological home, but there's a fair-to-poor relationship with the father. That punches a hole in your balloon, doesn't it? You know what it is for a child raised in a two-parent biological home where there's a good exit relationship with the father? That child is less than 6% likely to ever go into drugs, alcohol, or violence. In other words, it's possible, totally improbable. Folks, hear me. It's not just the structure. But I'm convinced the relationship within the structure is as powerful, in fact, possibly even more powerful than the structure itself. It's a relationship that engenders beliefs. Again, after Columbine, the FBI commissioned a study to be done. They called it the Classroom Avenger Profile. They wanted to see if they could come up with a profile to help police, administrators, and teachers to determine potential shooters, to head it off at the pass like. After millions of dollars and several years of research, they studied the previous 17 shooters in high schools. And this is what they found. Basically, three ingredients to the profile for the FBI. One, they're white. As I say to my African American and Hispanic friends, I'm sorry, you don't fit the profile. The shooters are white. Second, they're middle class. Third, the father is either absent or distant in the parenting process. Whew. Folks, it's relationships. Do you know probably 60 to 70% of all evangelical Christian kids fit that profile? They're white, they're middle class, and the father is distant or absent in the parenting process. Johns Hopkins Medical School commissioned a study to be done. They wanted to find out what they did. They commissioned two doctors, Thomas and Dwazinski, to examine 1,377 graduates of Johns Hopkins Medical School for 30 years. Boy, think of what that study cost. 30 years. They wanted to see if they could come up with a common cause factor, predictive factor, to predict five things in a child's life when they become an adult. In other words, can they look at a child and say, if this is true in a child's life, then when they get older, they have a much higher profile for these five things. Mental illness, hypertension, malignant tumor, coronary heart disease, and suicide. Can they look at a child and say, if this is true in a child, when they get older, they have a much higher probability? After 30 years of research, they released it in the American Medical Association's JAMA Journal. They only found one predictive common cause after 30 years. And it wasn't your diet, thank God. It wasn't your exercise, to Him be the glory. You know what it was? The lack of closeness to one's parents. The lack of closeness to one's parents was the only predictive factor. You have to excuse me, folks. I'm sicker than a dog. I can't even see the back of the room. It's just spinning. I've got either the flu or a horrible head cold. And my head is just throbbing. And so I got to start using these things because now my nose is starting to run. So please forgive me if I forget a few things tonight. But they found one common cause, and it was triggered because of the lack of closeness to parents, was triggered by something that is in every person's life. What triggers it is in every one of your life here today. Every person in the world. Every one of you have already experienced this issue today. Some of you over the years have learned to handle it in a positive or a negative way. Can anyone tell me what it is that triggers this? You know it. Stress. Stress. You know what they found? That a child raised in a very loving, intimate home environment, especially in the relationship with a father, as that child grows up, they can handle stress so much better in their life. Has a direct effect upon mental illness, hypertension, malignant tumor, coronary heart disease, and suicide. Almost every disease it does. It's relationships that engenders beliefs, that forms our values, that drives our behavior. No wonder David said, I'm constantly aware of your unfailing love, and I have lived according to your truth. You take a young person, 12 to 14 years old, that does not have a loving, intimate relationship with their father, is 300% more likely to attempt suicide. A 15 to 16-year-old teenager does not have a loving, intimate relationship with their daddy is 300% more likely to attempt suicide. Folks, it's relationships that engenders beliefs, that forms our values, that drives our behavior. Look at Michael Jackson, the king of pop. Everybody makes jokes about Wacko Jacko and all. You want to understand Michael Jackson? Take a long look at his daddy. 8 years ago, Michael shared that when he was 5 years old, his parents started the Jackson 5. Now, can you imagine, number one music group in the world, and the lead singer was 5 years old. In their first rehearsal, something went wrong. Michael said, I turned to my father, and I said, Daddy. And he said, my father stopped the rehearsal. Stopped the rehearsal. And in a very firm voice said, I am not your father, I am your manager, and don't you ever forget that. 4 years ago, the king of pop was speaking at Oxford University in Oxford, England. He was speaking on what a lot of people make jokes about, the foundation he had just formed called Help the Children. 800 students and faculty there, about 13 minutes into his talk, the king of pop started to cry. And then Michael Jackson wept so hard he couldn't speak. And they said the crowd felt very uneasy. Finally, the king of pop got his composure, and he said, I just wanted a dad, a father who showed me love, and my father never did that. He never said, Michael, I love you. You see, the king of pop had never seen that unfailing love. It's hard for him to discern the truth or live the truth. It's relationships that engenders beliefs, that forms our values, that drives our behavior. I was in Phoenix, Arizona. It was in the fall, and from Monday to Friday, we had 13 high school assemblies. If you're in the business world, that'd be like 5 80-hour work weeks in 5 days. And on the first day at noon, the second assembly was outdoors because it was a beautiful day. So I had them sit them on a big grass knoll, because there were two large boulders or large rocks that I could stand on, because it's hard to hold the attention of a group outdoors with so much distractions and all. And before I spoke, they warned me that there were a group of goths on campus who would come, and they would try to break up the meeting, throw me off campus. They said they do it every assembly. They get kicked out of school, they come back, they do it again, they get kicked out of school, they come back, they do it again. You think somebody is smarting up the parents, not the school, the parents. You know, mom and dad, hardly ever support your child at school, because usually your child's a brat. I'm serious. It's usually your child. It's like my son's a teacher in a Christian school, and he says, Dad, you cannot believe these mothers. Their kid's an absolute brat. And they come down, they defend their daughter. My sweet little daughter couldn't have done that. How could you put her out of the class? I said, Dad, the kid is a brat. It's the worst thing you can do is to go down there and support your kid, except in the most rare situation. Because usually the teacher is right. Even in a secular school, usually the teacher is right. In all the years of my kids, maybe there are 3, 4, at the most time, that my child was not in the wrong. And I had pretty active kids. Well, I hadn't been speaking 2-3 minutes, and up came 6 goths. They stood about from here from the speaker away from me in front of 1,500 students. Just looking at them was a little scary. They were totally dressed in black, heavy black mascara makeup. Every part of their body that wasn't tattooed was pierced, which is unusual for a goth. They had every color hairdo. They had the big, long dog collars, spiked dog collars around their necks, the spikes sticking out like that, and they're half their wrist collar and half leg collar. They had big chains around their neck. The two leaders had two big iron crosses. And they stood about that far away like, I dare you. I love that. I'd pay people to look that way. I'd bring Pat Boone in. But anyway, some of you know what I'm talking about. And so immediately, I switched my talk. The students didn't know it, to speak about intimacy. A 16-year-old girl wrote me a letter, said, Dr. McDowell, intimacy, oh, this was beautiful, is the capacity to be real with another person. No facade, no barrier. Wow. That's what every kid wants. And I shared how Christ could do that through forgiveness, indwelling power and all. And when I finished speaking, I stepped down off the boulder, and when my foot hit the grass, the head of the Goths literally leaped right towards me. 1,500 students went, huh? And he came up within 6 inches of my nose. I remember it well because he had buffalo breath. And what 1,500 students didn't hear and see, they didn't see the tears just running down his cheeks along with his mascara. And they didn't hear him say very reverently, Mr. McDowell, would you give me a hug? In front of 1,500 students. I no sooner said yes, and literally before I could lift my arms up, this kid clamped my arms to my side, put his head on my right shoulder, and cried like a baby. Seemed like forever because his chains were embedded into my chest. But when he stepped back, what 1,500 students didn't hear him say, and if you ever, ever, ever think of making some stupid, condescending remark about how some kid looks, their tattoos, their body piercing, what, before you make some idiotic remark, you remember what this goth said to me, because it's true of almost every goth and punk in the world. He said, Mr. McDowell, my father never once has ever hugged me or told me he loved me. You see, he had never seen that unfailing love. And it was hard for him to discern the truth. It's relationships that engenders beliefs. With my 4 children, I have 3 daughters and a son. My 4 kids and raising them, when I saw potential, I always tried to catch potential behavioral problems or attitudes before they took place. I would always ask my children 3 questions. Because if they answered yes to these 3 questions, oh, folks, I had the battle won. If they answered yes to these 3 questions, it was almost always like clay in the potter's hand. I could mold them. If they answered no, or they even hesitated with one of these questions, not that I couldn't mold them, but oh, folks, it was tough. First question, Sean, do you know that I love you? Yeah, Dad. Sean, do you know that I love your mother? Yeah, Dad. Sean, when you get married and love and marriage and family and sex, do you want with your wife and with your children what I have with your mother and you? Well, yeah, Dad. Then, son, don't do that because it'll rob you. This is why the Bible says. Do you notice what those 3 questions are? They're all relational. Did you catch that? You know what I learned, Mom and Dad? Over the years, to address potential behavior or real behavior or whatever, I always had to surface the relationship first. Once I surfaced the relationship, oh, folks, the issue became a whole different ballgame. Whether it was tattoo, body piercing, or what. It put it in the context of relationships with me, their daddy, who they loved. And knew I loved them. It's relationships that engenders beliefs, that forms our values, that drives our behavior. Look at Hugh Hefner, founder of Playboy. How many of you have read Playboy? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Relax, relax. Whew! Hugh Hefner, the founder of Playboy. In all the years, I've never heard him referred to his father, make a comment about it in all the interviews. And only once, it was about 4 years ago, during one of their anniversaries on MSNBC, Hugh Hefner was being interviewed, and he said this about his mother. I knew my mother loved me, but she never showed it. So I learned about love from the movies. Oh, folks, can you imagine how pathetic that statement is? But do you know how many Christian kids are making that same statement? Same statement. Since I don't see it in my mom and dad, I've got to learn about it from the movies. You see, Hugh Hefner had never seen that unfailing love. It was hard for him to discern the truth or to know the truth. How many of you remember Amy Fisher and Joy Buttafuoco? Ah, quite a few. What was that, 11, 12 years ago, wasn't it? As Paul Harvey would say, let me give you the rest of the story. Amy Fisher just got out of prison. She was 17 years old. Joy Buttafuoco, she had never met him. See, that's what was never brought out. She had never, ever met Joy Buttafuoco. He was a 37-year-old married man. He owned and operated his own auto repair shop. And according to what Amy shared when she got out of prison, she said that her father dropped one of their cars off at Joy's auto repair to be fixed. Late that afternoon, he dropped Amy off to drive it home, but never waited to see if it was finished. And it wasn't. And she was a little frustrated, and Joy Buttafuoco, the 37-year-old married man, the owner and manager, said, well, I'll take you home. She said, I truly thought it was innocent enough. He took her home, but walked her to the door of the house. She fumbled around her purse, got her keys, opened the door, and Joy realized nobody was home. He pushed her in, grabbed her, dragged her into the bedroom, threw her on a bed, and raped her. And as he was raping her, Amy said, he threw me on my bed and started telling me he loved me. And I was thinking in my head, I just remember my head spinning, saying, oh, wow, this man loves me. I never had a man tell me they loved me before. And she went on to say, at that moment, I would have done anything for Joey. And you well know, went and got her daddy's gun, went over, pushed the doorbell, and shot his wife through the head, the skull, and gave 10 years of her life to the man who raped her. Do you see what that picture is? You see, Amy had never seen that unfailing love. So here's a man doing one of the greatest acts of violence on a woman and was saying, I love you. And because he said, I love you, she went out and killed his wife, or shot his wife, made her a vegetable, and gave 10 years of her life in prison. You see, Amy had never seen that unfailing love. And it was hard for her to discern truth. Oh, men and women, it's relationships that engenders beliefs that forms our values. I beg you, build relationships with your children. Oh, how I wish every one of you could have been here last night. I really do, for the sake of your own kids. Last night we talked about how do you build that relationship? How do you build that relationship except in a rare situation they will respond and not rebel? I don't think we have a cassette tape of it or anything, or a CD. But there's two books out there that deal with this issue. One is called, it came out of Columbine, called The Disconnected Generation. How do you build a relationship with your child except in a rare situation they will respond and not rebel? The other one is called The Father Connection. Got Book of the Year Award, the gold medallion. 10 qualities of the heart that empower your children to make right choices. The Father Connection. I wrote that for the mother because men don't read. We don't. We go to Promise Keepers. We feel guilty. We buy all the books. We go home and our wives read them. Look, 95% of all books purchased are read by women, not men. 95%. So I wrote this for the mother, the father connection. Men, buy it, give it to your wife and say, highlight it for me, and then you can read it in 10 minutes. I've never read one of Dobson's books, but boy, I know everything he says. Why? My wife would highlight them, buy them, highlight them, give them to me, and say, now read it. And 15 minutes later, I'd read the book. Please take what I've shared here to heart, folks. It really doesn't matter how good this church is. It doesn't. It doesn't matter how good the youth group is of this church. If you do not build relationships with your children where they would die for you, they'll walk. Folks, they'll walk. And they are right now. You know what it is in England? An evangelical church in England, the last 5 years, every week for 5 years, 5,000 teenagers have walked away from the church in England. And it's happening here right now. And parents are sitting back and doing nothing about it, or grandparents. Folks, it's relationships. Please take that to heart. For the sake of your children, your grandkids, and for the sake of the cause of Christ. I'm going to be slipping out. I usually stay around, talk, everything else during the break, but folks, I'm going to go back and stretch out on the floor in that room back there, the way I feel. But thank you for, even the way I feel, letting me share some things that was heavy on my heart about the Word of God and the need for relationships with our kids. They deserve you. Now give it all you can. Thank you. God bless.